Yo, 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 what's up, guys? Welcome to episode 110 of the Breeze podcast, where your word of mouth is our oxygen. I'm the boy, the Don, John. Here, my boy. What's good, bro? What are you saying? Introduce yourself. What's good?
My name, if you don't know that, is actually Gordon Ramsay. No, I'm kidding. My name is Victor White.
I mean, it's crazy you said Gordon Ramsay. I've been watching Gordon Ramsay every single night for the last week. Hell's Kitchen. I just know recently go into it, but that's crazy you said that.
You know, I have a feeling for wait, gotta angle the light correctly. I see you just have the mic stall and the Barbados flag and some sound.
I mean, the light's coming in today. You know what I mean? The light's coming in today.
Lights so, coming. Like, John is finally stepping up his game, guys. Finally, you won't time. Have 100... to listen to torture for
110 episodes long. In, like, it's about time, you know what I mean? Like, we're out here.
Because you're not unemployed now.
Yeah, I'm actually 1 week into employment.
Whoa, okay, John.
Let's get into that. Roll the intro.
Breeze. 1 okay, bro, this will be an interesting week in review since you're 1 week into employment.
Bro, so yeah, I'm 1 week in. Like, my first 2 weeks are strictly like the mind of a consultant. Like, basically they're training us how to be consultants, you know what I mean? So like, okay, we get a crash course on like different frameworks, you know, the ABC framework, and like basically how to think and how to solve problems, like ambiguous problems. That's what they're teaching us for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So my mornings start at like 7 because I'm working on East Coast time. So they start at 9, but I'm in Calgary, so it's 7, and I finish around 3. Mm-hmm. And it's just like meeting a bunch of people. So like my cohort is like Canadian people and US people. So I'm meeting like a bunch of people are going to work with like the federal government in like the states and stuff. So it's pretty interesting to hear the projects that they're be working on. You know what I mean? Like a lot of stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
I just like how technology can like, I'm just super interested to learn more about how like this technology fits into.
So does this mean that IBM's largest contractors are of governmental organizational type stuff?
I'd say, yeah. I'd also say like 90% of like the big banks are also IBM clients. So like all of them basically run on like IBM technology, which is interesting.
Not Amazon.
Client. So the client. Like, I mean, that's interesting. It's super interesting. You know what I mean? Just, I mean, like, once you understand the brain on how it works, like basically they call you in for something, you know what I mean? Depending on what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's your job. Like once they call you, that you're the client, you know what I mean? So when I heard that, like one of the clients that they worked with, like it was like, well, that's super interesting, you know what I mean?
But, yeah.
I'm still learning, enjoying it. The people are super cool.
That's nice. I mean? That's really nice. Important as well.
Yeah, bro. Like, I feel like, yeah, I got no complaints.
Nice. Well, good to hear, John.
How were your exams?
Yo, Monday, slap. Wednesday, slap. Friday, slap. Now, obviously, we're going to get into the micro of things. But I just wanted to say, John, that I feel like there is a big possibility that I might pass all of the exams, John.
Yo, round of applause for Victor.
And so the first exam on Monday, John, data analytics, right? So I had studied and prepared for that one the most because I feel like that's one where if you have it hanging over your head, and as you remember, I fluked the maths exam, the midterm, the Dugga is called. So I already have that one to do in January. But I felt that that exam with some tailwind that I'm going to be able to pass it, hopefully. We will see. And then with my next exam, which was global challenges, and that's essentially how to tackle a variety of different problems that we face in today's society, whether that's, I mean, in one way, it could be relationships in between nations. And one thing in the course is game theory. Then obviously we've been on epidemics because of the corona pandemic, and as well, obviously climate change. I don't remember if I mentioned it, but we had a Harvard case study in this class, and it was on palm oil production in Indonesia. And first of all, John, I don't remember if I asked you this, but do you know how many people live in Indonesia?
I have no idea.
Guess.
1 million?
279 million.
279 million?
Yes, bro. 800 different languages. I had no idea Indonesia was that huge.
Is it huge or is it like super dense?
Dense and big, I guess. I don't know. 279 million, bro.
That's crazy.
276. It's insane, bro.
That's
800 languages. No, but because of that case study that we did there, then we had to use stuff. It was 4 questions. And then, you know, you had different sections.
That was essay-like.
Essay-like, yes, okay. Yes. But it was open book, so I had compiled a huge document with core reading materials, etc., which I would not say was that helpful, honestly. but what I would say is that I had planned for the 3 hours. I was like, okay, I can spend X amount of time on each question and then I move on and then I finish in the end. 3 hours was extremely tight. However, some people, so what happened was that our school portal went down the day of the exam. So people couldn't access the readings, which when it was time for the exam started and then they had emailed and said, when the portal is back up, you can access the readings and we might give you extra time. But the thing is, on the exam, you had to have Zoom open, but you had to mute your computer in order not to hear everyone because you had to have sound on so they could monitor. So you mute the audio on the computer. So at 5 p.m., when it was time for me to hand in my assignment, and I was like, I hand it in and then I unmute just to listen to the chat and it's freaking chaos going on. And they're like, you have 45 extra minutes. She was Australian, the woman. And I was like, what? I just handed it in. So luckily I was able to get my exam back, access it again through DigiExam to then feel a little bit better about my answers because I was so pressed on time, bro. Like, it was ridiculous. And like, the questions were freaking saucy, bro.
Question. I forgot my question, bro. I had a great question.
Okay.
All right, keep talking.
So what happened was I get my access back and this is like 300 students who just left their exam and now want it back. And this one woman have to do it manually, right? I was lucky enough to get mine back. And then, like, you know, when I had used the 40 extra minutes instead of 45, because it is a big difference from knowing you have like 4 hours instead of 3 hours, how you do and the way you start, the way you feel stressed 100%. Through the whole thing, it's a big difference. So what happens is I leave it in again without listening to the chat. And I exit Zoom and like, oh, okay, go on with my day. And then at what, like 6:25, they type in my group chat and like, oh, how's it going, guys? Or like, the time is extended again. So they had extended it 45 minutes again because of issues and stuff. So naturally, this has become a big thing. Obviously, because some people left it after 3 hours and etc. Because technically, like if you were to take like a professional game of any sort, and then when the game has started, you rewrite the rules. Like, bro, like
that's kind of sketch. So you were at home for all these exams?
For the second one, Global Challenges, I was at home. No, so that's currently a debate that's going on. We'll see what happens. Our professor who's on the Nobel Committee board, blah, 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 he issued like a super formal statement, like, at this point in time, I had two options, either to blah, 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 or blah, 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 after, etc. And obviously, it's a difficult situation to be in, you know, but I also understand a lot of the student frustrations out there. Some students were really frustrated. Personally, I just focused on my next exam, which was microeconomics. So I also drained that Wednesday night. So I just started structuring my studying for microeconomics. And my beautiful, beloved girlfriend tells me that you should print the old exams. And then you should categorize each question to what section in the lectures you've been going through. Yeah. Monopolies, duopolies, externalities, etc. And then like a perfect competition, blah, 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 supply and demand. So I did that for all the exams. And then I went category by category. Now, the issue was I did this the day before the exam. So I'm starting to study the day before the exam. And what happened was that I managed to do oligopoly, monopoly, and because I started with oligopoly, which is technically after monopoly, a lot of the the models that we use, like equations, were more difficult. So when I then did monopoly, it was easier. And what I saw on the previous test was that there was a tendency to have a lot of that stuff in the exam. So I felt like really bad. I was up until 2:30 something a.m. Slept minimal in before the exam. I wake up, I go there, I have no idea how I'll do. Guess what?
What?
It's the best exam of the week, bro.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I fly through it, bro. Like, this new study technique from my beloved girlfriend is the best technique ever, and that's gonna get me through these 3 years.
Bro, I'm telling you, like, I actually have a similar story. This is a before the podcast.
Yeah.
So my first year of undergrad. So how it works, like, you have, like, throughout the term, you have to get at least 40%. Like, the most you can get is 40% to take into the exam, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I did zero work. So I had, like, probably, like, 10%, you know what I mean, out of 40.
Yeah.
So in order for me to pass, I had to get, like, full marks on, like, the final exam. I had to get, like, 100%. So this is stats. This is, like, I hated stats at this time,
statistics.
Right? Yeah, statistics.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, what I did, I went and I looked, I printed off every single exam paper in the history of this course.
Yeah.
And I memorized every single question and answer.
Yeah.
And then when I go into the exam, I was like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah.
I go into the exam, one of the questions was incorrect because she like copied and pasted it wrong from like one of the past papers, and they corrected the question.
Yeah.
And then I gave her the right answer and the right question, and she gave me like 110%. I was
no
like,
way.
Everyone else got it wrong because no one else knew it was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
No one knows that story. Like, shout out to my parents. They didn't know that, like, that happened. Like,
no, but I think the key takeaway here is know what you have to do and study that. Because when I look at what we've been going through in the course, as well as the book, etc., the lectures, the hand-in assignments that we did previously, and I know a majority of my classmates studied the hand-in assignments and found the test really difficult and struggled, is that on exams, they are bound to a specific format. So you're better off practicing on, if you have the opportunity, old exams.
If you can find them, like, that's the best way to do it. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people, especially undergrad, like, find that there's a big gap between, like, term assignments and, like, what you do throughout, like, the class.
Yeah.
And then the final exam, just like to your point, you know what I mean? Like, they have like a structure they have to stick to, and like certain things that has to come on the exam. So, like, all those undergrad people there, if you can find exams, just learn those questions and practice
and
those questions.
Yeah. And even though the exam question might be formulated differently with different words and different numbers, the core content will be the same and you will recognize it. You'll just be able to.
Fundamentally, it's the same thing.
Yes, exactly. So
that's a major tip, by the way. That's a major tip.
Such a baller tip. And then my last thing that I just want to bring up about this past week is that I get a DM. from the Stockholm School of Economics. And every time they're in my inbox, I am scared to death. Because I think I spoke on the podcast what happened on the introduction when this random dude was running around with the camera on campus during COVID times, etc. Because of, if you think about the negative externalities, which are a third party affected outside of an economic transaction,
okay,
which in this case, a negative externality would be the media, which because they kind of like our school and to point out the weaknesses, etc. So I've kind of gotten a lot of support, etc., from the school with what I'm doing, and with that also comes a lot of trust, you know. So the first thing that hits my mind when I get this DM is, damn, now I published something that is not good.
It's over the top.
This is not good. Much like our podcast in the beginning where we just went in hard. I open it up and it says, "Hi Victor, we love to follow your journey on the vlog. Everyone here on the marketing team is so nice. Would you consider doing an Instagram takeover of our account?"
That's it. I watched your vlog.
So nice. So starting next week, we have Victor White taking over the Stockholm School of Economics Instagram, bro.
That's major. That's major. Yeah. Congrats, bro.
So I'm so to the point, obviously I'm competitive, so I'm gonna go in ridiculously hard, bro. By the way,
so
on the record,
first time doing this?
On the record, do I have permission to use your songs on the stories?
Yeah, bro, of course.
Nice. Easy.
Is this your first time doing this?
For me, Instagram takeover on their account, yes, but they've done Instagram takeovers before. Gonna set such a high bar that hopefully no one will beat my takeovers in the coming. I would be happy if they survive a solid 40 years, at least.
Say less, bro. I'm thinking 50.
Yeah, or possibly the best takeover ever. Probably. And my last thing would be to add to this is that the, and sometimes it's just nice how faith works, you know. Obviously, I see on the portal that one of our next courses are management, organizational management, something like that. And the first lecture is a 4-hour lecture, and they're going to have visits from the Sweden CEO of McKinsey and McKinsey and Company, and a Bain senior partner. But because of COVID, there's only a limited number of people that can attend the lecture. And we're organizing to numbers, right? You have your student ID. And the student IDs that were allowed to attend was not including mine.
All right. But now you got that takeover.
Now I have leverage.
Of course.
So what do? I email our course director, Jesper Blomberg, and I tell him, "Hi, I'm doing an Instagram story takeover of the Stockholm School of Economics account. Could you possibly get me into this first lecture?" Because obviously, John, you're the one that told me, "Oh, no associates at McKinsey, they're not worth anything. You gotta go to the partners, bro."
That's facts, bro.
So what do I do? I'm going to the CEO, bro.
You have to. That's what you gotta do, bro. You are here for the top.
Yeah. Right. So I managed to get myself a spot there, which is nice. So I'm gonna intend to use my leverage now to get close to the CEO on Tuesday.
That's right, bro. You have to. Like, you have it. Like, they handed this to you. So, like, now you gotta go for it. You know?
Yeah, 100%, bro.
Go
so listeners, make sure to follow the Stockholm School of Economics right now and keep up with my week essentially on the on the Stockholm School of Economics.
I'll definitely give them a follow too.
Amazing. And obviously, John, I will shout out you and involve some Ivy stuff and, you know, bridge the gap. You know?
Shout out to Victor, man. Shout out to Victor.
Amazing. Okay, chopped up.
Chopped up, bro. Did we speak about Quibi last week?
We did not.
Yo, so I was looking for the episode like this week that we spoke about Quibi earlier this year. I just think we were like, I mean, I don't think I know that we were spot on, you know what I mean, in terms of like our analysis of just the business on the whole. Just to see, just for our listeners now, so Quibi lasted 6 months, basically $1.6 billion in investment, and they're shutting down. I don't mean to laugh, sorry, but I mean like it feels good to be correct, you know what I mean,
It
like just
goes to
on
show that you can't buy yourself into a market with, like, you know,
with a dumb idea still, you know what I mean, like the idea could be way better. I mean, I don't know, man. It's done. RIP Quibi. I guess we can call it like RIP to
Rip Quibi.
Quibi.
I don't have anything to add on that because on the previous episode when we spoke about that, we were speaking about this day. So, you know,
It's here, like same year. Like I thought it at least like next year probably, but like same year. Yeah, RIP Quibi.
John, the Kanye West Joe
Joe
Rogan
Rogan.
interview, have you watched it, started watching it?
Yeah, so I'm an hour in.
I'm a about this, no, a little longer. I'm an hour 24 minutes in.
Yeah, so I mean, when you see those two people, like Joe Rogan in by himself, you have to watch him. You know what I mean? Kanye West.
First of all, what do you think of the set design?
I mean, it doesn't bother me, bro. But everyone's saying it looks like a toaster. I think you said a toaster. I'm like, I'm here for the content. I'm here to listen to what's happening.
Did you see that those things on the wall is sound stuff?
Yeah, sound panels. Yeah,
Yeah, he probably wanted to feel like he's in a studio.
I mean, he is. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, true. Yeah, it is a
I
studio.
guess. But
Yeah, so
I
what you were
mean,
saying,
what do you think so far about Kanye West?
I think so Joe had previously said that he had talked to Kanye. But he also said that he didn't know if that would be the right format for Kanye, and
Right.
that's maybe why the interview hadn't happened. I think that is nice to have Kanye in a setting where, opposed to the Nick Cannon thing, where you essentially have this sheep and Kanye, opposed to a setting where Kanye respects, I'm not saying that he doesn't respect Nick Cannon, but what I'm saying is when Kanye sits opposed to someone whom it's very clear that he is speaking to as an equal, right? And that to me is nice because it's also clear that this is an interview where Kanye isn't, he is, as much Kanye right now that I think we publicly can get him, right?
I'd counter just to say like I feel it's just two different audiences, you know what I mean, in terms of like who. So Nick Cannon, Joe Rogan, I don't think none of them, like you can't, they won't be able to see eye to eye with Kanye, you know what I mean, like not even Joe Rogan. Like he's a well-read individual, like knows a lot of stuff, but in terms of like it's Kanye West, bro. Like this guy's a billionaire, he's touched every single industry that you can think about, you know what I mean, like. So when it comes to it in terms of like the format, like there's a reason he would sit with Nick Cannon. You know what I mean? Like that audience is like for his core, like people that's like, yo, Kanye West, I mess with Kanye West. This Joe Rogan interview now, it's kind of different. I watch it
No,
and how
okay,
I'm
can
looking
I
at it.
pose your position
Yeah,
just
go for
quick?
it.
It's kind of like the first and the third presidential debate, right? Where we had the first guy who didn't do the best job moderating compared to the third debate, which for the record, I haven't seen, but apparently the woman did a really good job
Yeah, she did a
moderating
sick
it.
job.
In this setting, it's Joe Rogan as a moderator and Nick Cannon as a moderator. And what I'm saying is that Kanye is a specific type of person that in order to have a conversation with him, you have to be of certain stature, which I think Joe Rogan is. Do you get what I mean? And I think that Joe Rogan, he has so much knowledge and experience that he's
He
not
has a lot
afraid.
of knowledge. He has a lot of knowledge. I'm not taking that with him. Like I'm just saying, like it's two different audiences. You know what I mean? Like, I say that not to say like Nick Cannon could do what Joe Rogan was doing in terms of like how he approached that interview, but like in terms of structure, in terms of like letting just Kanye talk and just go on and on, it's like Kanye-ish, you know what I mean? Joe Rogan did a better, like in terms of his audience, it's his audience.
Joe right? is an excellent translator. That's why his podcast is the biggest in the world. That's why he sold it to Spotify for 100 million. Doesn't matter if he has Einstein, astrophysicists, or nuclear technicians, or Elon Musk. He's able to take these things and then convey them to us, the audience, in a clear and simple way. And he's also able to, on an intellectual level, ask questions that are fruitful to the individual being interviewed. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that.
And I also feel like Joe is a good representative of saying, I don't understand what you just said there. Could you explain that? Which Nick Cannon is just like, what he said four words in
the
interview?
To that point, it's almost like Joe Rogan synthesizes it for the layman. Yeah. And if you're watching, like, if you're just listening to Nick Cannon and Kanye West talk, it's almost like you're having it's almost like you're just listening to Kanye West. And you have to be synthesized for yourself. Only some people can synthesize it for themselves. If you're able to synthesize what Kanye was saying by yourself, kudos to you. Otherwise, listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, but I mean, I would say it's more than just the synthesizing part, John. Like Joe Rogan is, experience matter. Like have Nick Cannon interviewed Elon Musk or Neil deGrasse Tyson, or do you get like the wide array of?
But I get people. It, but I'm just saying like it's the audience, right? Like he is catered to a specific audience. So there's a reason Kanye West would go on Nick Cannon's show, and then there's a reason he would follow up and go on Joe Rogan's show.
Yeah, but Kanye West could go on anyone's show, right?
Kanye West is not going to go on anyone's show.
No, but he like, could if he wanted. He could go on
exactly,
anyone's show.
Exactly. So that's what he chose. That's what I'm saying. Like in terms of there's a reason he would choose Nick Cannon, and then there's a reason he would then flip and go to Joe Rogan. Yeah. Like Joe Rogan has the reach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in terms of like niche, it'd probably be Nick Cannon in terms of that specific type of people on specific issues.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that I found interesting, have you come to the part about the music industry?
Yeah, he spoke about like 20 minutes in, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
How they rape artists. Yeah, I think he should have worded it how he rapes artists economically.
Oh, Kanye West.
Yeah.
I don't know that, bro. You know,
isn't that what the whole thing is about?
How Kanye West rapes artists?
No. What happened to my, I don't know. Is it a glitch or something?
We got some technical difficulties in there.
Yeah, we'll be 1 second. I might have to use my, sorry listeners, it's just my camera here. For you guys that are listening to this. Okay, video.
The ones that are watching.
Is it working? No, did it die maybe? No, it's working. That's weird. Okay, I'm just going to switch to the webcam. No, now it's coming. battery exhausted. Interesting. Okay, that's interesting. It's because I was charging it just before the thing. Wait, boom, FaceTime camera. Boom. bit of a difference.
Drastic difference. But go what you were saying.
Yeah, so music industry. Maybe you haven't come to that part, but he talks about getting masters back, etc. And he says, like, he's like, these not labels, but the publishers rape artists, right? And that's just one thing that hit me, that he's talking about how the music he makes today makes him negative 40 million.
I saw that, yeah.
And what I mean by that, because he's talking about economic terms, right? He's talking about the economics of being an artist, correct, a performer. Then he, I personally think that it's just a small thing, but he could have worded it better rather than saying that, that they rape artists. I think he should have said that they rape them economically.
Yo, here's the thing. I don't know if you, there's a video on YouTube that I'll send you. It's basically like this lawyer going through, remember when Kanye West posted all his
contracts? Yeah.
Basically a lawyer going through every single one of those and explaining like what happened, you know what I mean? So the fact that Kanye West is losing money as he's like, this is music. Kanye West is one of the biggest rap artists that we know.
Yeah.
Flip side, you also have Drake, and Drake is one of the biggest artists currently, also not independent, right? Mm. There's a reason why Kanye West loses money from music, and it's all about the contracts that he signed, that he chose to sign, you know what I mean? That he went and like it was a strategic on his part, just because like he used some of that money to go and like invest into Yeezy or like his other ventures, right?
Yeah.
So like when he says that, like you always got to take it with like a grain of salt, you know what I mean? Because not like every single person that's out here is in a Kanye West situation. He put himself in that situation.
He, in the interview, he's speaking for all artists, how the deals are structured, that the company, the publishers rape the artists economically.
Yeah, he's, but Kanye West is also a publisher.
Yeah.
He also signs artists. So like, he's like, if you look at it, it's really, he's correct to a certain extent in terms of like publishing and artists don't write songs to begin with. A lot of artists don't write songs. So like, they go to sign a publisher, you're not getting the money if you're not writing yourself. You know what I mean? If you're like Rihanna, if you're like Beyonce and you have a publishing deal and a record deal, like Beyonce, if Beyonce doesn't write a song, she gets 30% off the top, even if she doesn't write the song.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
So it's really down to individual basis. Publishers do rape songwriters a lot. There's this whole movement in terms of like songwriters not getting paid, songwriters don't wait till the end compared to like producers and even artists that they get money up front, where there are certain parts of the value chain, the people that create the songs, that create the value, they're the ones that like don't get any monetary returns until like.
Okay. So, John, you won a songwriting competition and you were in talks with Pooh Bear.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yo, so that's under wraps, but I can't really talk about it in terms of what's it gonna happen, but
it's have very, you signed ink on paper?
I haven't signed yet. No, I haven't signed yet.
Okay.
But to that point, it's super important to understand like the different types of publishing deals that there are.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Majority of people coming out, they're probably going to sign an administrative deal. That means like the publisher gets everything. You know what I mean? The publisher gets 100% of your publishing. Mm-hmm. And if you have if you don't own publishing, you don't have rights. You know what I mean?
Okay.
There's co-publishing deal, which you share your publishing with the publisher and they try to maximize their revenues, which is kind of like the best deal you can have if you're smart, because you don't want to go take an advance, which is what Kanye West would have done. If you're smart, you know, like an advance is like a loan, you know what I mean? You have to pay back. So to all the people out there that are into songwriting, into producing, just gotta make sure you understand like the different types of deals that they are. It's not like one deal, sign, and that's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you want to learn more, you go on shorty.io. You know what I mean? Because like, that we're all that information. On.
To me, watching this conversation from a higher level, I would say that this looks like the venture capital world, where you have these VCs come and invest in 50 companies where they need one to work for the investments to pay off. I look at it, that seems to me to be the business model with the publishing song music business, whatever it's called, the entertainment business, where you sign a bunch of artists and you want one to.
To that point, like you always hear about the artists that pop, but like artists get dropped. You know what I mean? Like, people get dropped from their contracts. Mm. We know a couple people have been dropped from their contracts. You know what I mean? Like, it happens all the time. Mm. Like, if you're not producing, you gotta go. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a liability at this point. So,
yeah,
just read your paperwork. Make sure you get a lawyer, man. Like, and make sure you get a lawyer, man. I mean, I got some super, like, I got so many things to talk about, but I can't talk about this. I can talk about it, like, off the air. Like,
okay.
I don't know if Kanye West, I mean, we'll talk about it later. I'll tell you off the air.
Back to the conversation. I mean, it's fascinating. I would, yeah, it's just nice to see a conversation in Kanye of it, you know, and with Joe. I'm enjoying it. I'm 1 hour and 24 minutes in. It probably going to take me this week to finish the whole thing, but
yeah, when I get off this call, I'm gonna put it on, do some laundry,
finish it. Nice, amazing, bro. I have, after this hectic exam week and working like an animal, I decided to keep the flow going. So actually, I've gotten a mountain done today, honestly, and nice. I'm just gonna continue doing it. I'm gonna head to my friends now from school, and we're gonna do some IB applications, John. By the way, I've in investment banking stuff.
Okay.
But they don't want me to talk about that because of competition, blah blah blah. They're a little scared. I'm not scared.
Yeah. Fair, bro. Fair. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Fun, bro.
Took your advice, though, and I've reached out to people in regards to internships, and I realized that the network that I've already built has been extremely, extremely helpful. And this is the one of the first major times where I feel that using my network for once is really beneficial. So,
bro, that's all you gotta do, man. Yeah, like, that's the only thing that'll set you apart from your peers. Like,
yeah.
Just keep building that, you should be fine. That's
the key. And also I would like to say too that I have some fun business stuff going on, but I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast. I can tell you about it afterwards and the podcast in the future. But some nice stuff, so that's exciting.
Yo, let's get it, bro. Like, we're out here, we're doing, putting the hours in. You know what I mean? Shout out to you on the takeover. Don't forget Instagram takeover SMC.
Yeah, guys, don't forget it. And I just want to say that if you haven't heard Alicia Keys' Spotify sessions, Ocean Eyes, you should go and listen to it. My Lord.
Is it good?
John, have you heard it?
I haven't.
Okay, Puffy, take it away.
Hey yo, what's going on? This is DJ Puffy, Red Bull 3-Style World Champion, and this is the Breeze Pick of the Week. Check it out, y'all.
Ocean eyes, no fear. You really know how to make me cry when you give me those ocean eyes. I'm scared. Never falling from quite this high, falling into your ocean eyes. Those ocean eyes. I've been.
Yeah, it's. So, yeah, guys, that was.
You showing Billie Eilish how it's done, bro.
Yeah, I. so if we just quick take, bro. So then obviously I type in Billie Eilish on Spotify. Bro, she has like 2 or 3 songs with like 1 billion plays or more.
Bro, she won so many Grammys this year.
It's insane.
You know, if you go in Logic, this Logic you have right now,
yeah,
you can go to like demo sessions and they have Ocean Eyes, Billie Eilish, like the entire production, like her vocals, like all the instruments and stuff.
That's cool.
You can pull it up. It's pretty cool.
Shout out
to Billie Eilish, man.
Yeah, shout out to Billie Eilish. More so, shout out to Alicia, mixing some Swedish in there. My beloved girlfriend, she actually said that she thinks that Billie's version is better. I personally think that Alicia's version is better.
I mean, I heard that 2 seconds, and I'm like, yo, the Billie Eilish version is good for radio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, in terms of like listening.
Yeah.
Lally, she's always killed it, bro. She's playing the piano, so like.
Yeah. Oof.
You can't lose.
I know, come bro. On, you can't. And that's the thing, John. Like, I don't know. It's something with Alicia and her freaking goddess hands, you know, just freaking sliding over the piano and her voice as well. Like, it's so good, bro.
Bro, she's fire from birth.
Yeah. Yeah. Mad respect to her.
From birth, bro.
Okay, so guys, with that, thanks for listening to this week's episode.
Yo, we appreciate you guys. So we'll hear y'all next week, of course, same time. You know where to find us. We out.
Peace.